Hey, hey, Michigan Maniacs. This is the Michigan Maniac Podcast, and I am your host, Adam Brewer. This is the Rising Stars of 2021 podcast, right? So, you know, are we going to go over what happened in the NFL draft? Sure, I'll go over it a little bit. I hit it in the last podcast, but we'll hit it up a little bit on this one as well. But I'm going to give you who I think are the rising stars and who needs to either shit or get off the pot in 2021, right? That's what we're going to do in this episode. But before we do it, let's do the housekeeping. All right, I know most of you probably fast forward through all this. But anyways, all social media, all Michigan Maniac Podcasts, that's where you find me. Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook fan page, Apple Podcasts, all that kind of lovely stuff. If you guys go ahead and rate and review, obviously, because that gets us in the algorithm. So all the other Michigan Maniacs or future Michigan Maniacs can find us and join this lovely family that we have growing. Go ahead, rate and review at Apple Podcasts. And then DM me, let me know what your full name or fake name, I don't really care. Whatever address you want to use, I don't really care. And I will send you stickers. Makes no difference to me. I just love the fact you're supporting the podcast, so that makes me very happy. So, let's get into this, right? I think last time we checked in on the draft, Nico had already been drafted. They had the great third round draft. Ambry Thomas, which I think is going to be great for the 49ers. I think Nico, it could be disastrous for Nico if Watson doesn't come back and start, I mean, which will be monumental because that is one heck of a molehill he's got to get over, right? Anyways, so getting into it, the rest of the Michigan football players did get drafted. A long snapper, doesn't matter where he went. He's going to probably, if he makes a team, he'll be there for 30-odd years because it doesn't matter how big you are, doesn't matter how good you can block, just as long as you can snap that ball, baby. So he will be there forever. Now, Cam McGrone, I'm excited to see that he went to New England because they improve players. I mean, as much, whatever you want to say about New England, they improve players. It's just the way it goes. It's why it's always been under Belichick. It's just that's how it is. So I'm excited to see a kid with that kind of talent make it to what could be once again a great team, right? I'm very excited to see what that has. Plus, let's face it, he is, you know, he's there with what, three other Wolverines? So fantastic. Can't wait to see what that. Ambry Thomas, actually, I can't wait to see Ambry Thomas and Mo Hurst play on the 49ers. That'll be very exciting. And I'm sure I covered that on the last podcast, so we'll move on. The one that I find is absolutely hilarious, and I hope it really proves something to this arrogant SOB, is Quinn Nordine. You can have a strong, strong leg. See, you know, here's the thing. The ideal field goal kicker, right, is not Deadpool from the Ryan Reynolds version of Deadpool that we've seen 1 and 2. Deadpool as in the Wolverine version of Deadpool where he had his mouth sewn shut. That is what you need in a field goal kicker. Shut the fuck up, Quinn Nordine. You are a field goal kicker. No one gives a crap what your opinion is. No one wants to hear you say, do your fucking job. No one wants to hear anything other than, I will nail a 58-yard field goal when there's 3 seconds left on the clock and we're in the AFC or NFC championship game and it's on our way to the Super Bowl. outside of that, no one gives a shit who you are. So I hope Belichick shoves his shoe so far up your stupid, such a pampered little ass that you have, that you learn that you are a field goal kicker. Understand this. Quinn Nordin, you are a field goal kicker. A kicker! The most successful field goal kicker right now has his own podcast. He's more known for being a podcaster than a field... Oh, actually, he was a punter. I'm sorry, even less important to a team than a field goal kicker. Quinn Nordin, you suck. Shut the hell up and just be appreciative that someone took pity on you and signed you after the draft, okay? So shut up, just kick the fucking ball, and with that big rocket leg you have, maybe you make it on a solid team that is the New England Patriots. If not, I hope to see you someday at a Jack in the Box taking my order. Personally, I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to fling nickels at your head as you give me my order of tacos as I'm wasted on a Friday night. You don't deserve to be in the NFL with your lame-ass attitude. Shut up and do your job. You're a field goal kicker who ended his career missing 2 field goals. Like, it doesn't get more just head up one's own ass than Quinn Nordin. So, I hope every Wolverine that has been drafted or got signed as a free agent makes a team and just contributes, other than Quinn Nordin. I hope that he's the night shift manager at the Jack in the Box in my neighborhood, because you don't deserve to live a life of luxury as a field goal kicker where you can make it for 20 years in the NFL. You could play for 10 different teams, but you can make it for 20 years in the NFL because you don't deserve it with your shit-ass attitude. Your attitude is awful. You have the attitude of a prima donna quarterback. Like, if Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or the BYU kid or some weirdo that we didn't even know who he was other than 2 weeks ago from North Dakota State. If you were those guys, then maybe I can make an argument for it. You're a field goal kicker, dude. You're a field goal kicker, and you're not even a good quality field goal kicker. I hope somebody in your family or somebody who has Twitter lets you hear this rant, because you don't deserve the NFL. You earned nothing to be in the NFL, and it's a sad state of affairs that you're even in the NFL with that shit attitude you have. So now that I'm off Quinn sucky-ass Nordin, we'll move on. Here are the rising stars, right? So here's some things that we're going to break out. So we're going to give you the rising stars, or the actual offensive and defensive stars, the top 5 for both offense and defense. I'm going to give you one obvious star for both offense and defense. I'm going to give you one star for both rising star for both offense and defense, and one freshman star for both offense and defense. And then I'll give you the shit or get off the pot player for each team, right? So the person that really needs to do something, that has the hype and has done nothing with the hype, right? So that's what we'll get into. So I don't know how long this pod will go, but hopefully it'll be fun. So obviously we'll go with the offense at first. So, I mean, no one's going to be shocked by the offensive stars, the top 5, or the defensive stars, top 5, because these are the players that should be the stars of this team, right? One, obviously we're going to go Cade McNamara. I truly believe Cade McNamara is the guy. I think he's a great setup to McCarthy, and I still believe that in 2022 we're looking at a national title run. I know I'm crazy, I get it, but I think our defense is going to be vastly superior than what it was last season. I like the aggressiveness of the formations and the idea of what this defense should be. I really like that. And I think, actually, to be quite honest with you, our defensive players fit that mold more. And I think that was our biggest anchor to what how bad last season was. So, McNamara, I think if he can stay healthy. Now, I have given 2 to 3 different podcasts about the hard luck of every Michigan quarterback ever since Harbaugh's taken over, outside of 2. And even then, actually not even 2, just 2 seasons. 2015 and 2018. Those are the only 2 seasons where a starting quarterback did not get hurt. And Harbaugh's, what, 6 seasons at Michigan? That right there should tell you the struggles we've had. But, I mean, I'm not a Harbaugh fan. I can go on forever about that, but I don't want to get derailed. I think McNamara, one, has the smarts. I think he throws a beautiful ball. I think he understands the offense. I think if he can avoid injury, I think this is the guy. I really do. You don't dominate high school football in any state if you're not good. I know Vegas isn't known for a dynamic football, like, dynasties or whatever, but they do have Bishop Gorman or whatever it is. Still, he dominated in that state, looked fantastic. I when you see him play, you can see how well he throws that ball. So a healthy Cade McNamara, number one. Number two, Ronnie Bell. Let's face it, that kid is the heart and soul of that offense. I mean, look at every game we played last season. Even when everybody was just sitting there looking like they were disinterested, you know, the only one bought in was Ronnie Bell. God bless him. I know he had that tough drop against Penn State, but the kid plays his heart out, runs good routes, catches the ball, takes hits, makes blocks. He's going to be a star, and I can't wait to see what he does this season. Number three, I know you guys are going to laugh at this one because I kind of laughed at this one, but and I've also have been I'm kind of hypocritical in this one because I called him Eric 40 Hands. For Edward Scissorhands, obviously, for those who are too slow to catch on that. But what I've gone back and I've looked at it, right? I've looked at a few, and you have no idea how miserable it was to look at these games this last season. But I looked at the games where Eric 40 Hands, Eric All, struggled. And you know who the quarterback was? Joe Milton. You know when Eric All started catching passes towards the end of the season, which was, what, 2 games? You know who the quarterback was? Cade McNamara. So when you don't have to try and catch a rocket, you know, a poorly thrown rocket, by the way, he catches the ball. I'm going to throw this out there. I think Eric All, under Cade McNamara, we could be looking at a Brady Gronk situation. I really like Eric All's speed. I like his size. And with the right quarterback throwing him the ball, I like his hands. Okay? He got into his head early in the season. He's young. I think another season gets him out of that. I think he's going to mature into a great tight end. I really do. I think with the right situation, he's going to be amazing. So Eric All's number three. I really do. With Cade McNamara as the quarterback, I really see Eric All. I want you guys to write this down. On this day, what, March 6th or 7th? No, it's 6th because it's not midnight yet where I'm at. May 6th, thank you very much. May 6th, 2 days after my lovely son was born. May 6th, I declare, like Michael Scott declaring bankruptcy, I declare Eric All is going to have a great season. Now, I could be full of shit, I could be totally wrong, but I declare Eric All is going to have a good season with McNamara as his quarterback. Number 4, AJ Henning. I mentioned this kid because with kickoff, and now that he's a kickoff and punt return guy, I think he's electric. Some of the things I've seen from him in last season, Gattis was an idiot and didn't know how to call play or run an offense, and that really screwed up how we saw AJ Henning. Or maybe it was planned all along, right? I did a podcast on how maybe they just said, well, we're just going to try everybody and see what sticks to the wall. So maybe that's just what happened as well. But AJ Henning is electric. Now, Roman Wilson crossed my mind in this area, but Roman Wilson, when I've gone over the games and I've seen him play, right, he looked too much in his own head. AJ Henning looked like he's out there ready to, like, just compete, just, like, create, you know? So AJ Henning, I think we're going to be super happy with what he does in the kickoff and punt return game. Now the fifth one I split. Now recently I just added this because I didn't know. I think I had too many wide receivers in this group, but I went with Trevor Keegan because I think he's a freaking beast. And I really do believe that he's on just right there to just take the next step and be dominant. No matter what position you put him in, if you put him at tackle or if you put him at guard, I think he's one of those talented kids that just knows how to do it, right? I'm very impressed with that kid. I can't wait to see what he does. Same with Barnhart. I thought that was another kid I wanted to mention. But the other one I want to mention is Mike Sainer still. I think be ready for this kid. If McNamara has the season I think he's going to have, right, with Barnhart and Keegan and all the other, like, you know, Stuber or Hayes all melding together, have a great offensive line season, I think watch out for Sainer still. I think he could be electric. So, now, obvious stars for the offense, that's going to be Hassan Haskins. I think he, Mr. Reliable, big, 6'1", 225, great, right? Not breakaway speed, but he looks like, from the 30 seconds I've seen of him in the released video of the spring games and all the other baloney, he looks amazing. 30 seconds. Woo! But no, overall, we've seen him enough to know that he makes the right decision now. Even last season, he looked better than the season before. Because, I mean, the season before, that Ohio State game, he completely made the wrong call, missed a wide open hole that he could have gone 70 yards for a touchdown. I think if that would have happened last season, he would have made that right choice. And I can only imagine his growth to this season, he's even going to be better, right? I'm very excited. I think he's an obvious star. You know, I can't wait to see what this kid does. I mean, no, not much to go into him because we already know who he's all about, right? Rising star, though, I think Blake Corum. Blake Corum, I think, is going to be one of those guys that is going to make plays that we're like, what? Run that shit back. I think you're going to say that numerous times when Blake Corum gets a hold of that ball. If you did not see him doing that pad drill, and I don't know what to tell you. Also, having Mike Hart, who is basically his identical twin when it comes to running back style, height, weight, the whole thing. And I think Blake Corum's faster than Mike Hart, so Hart probably is looking at him with just like heart emoji eyes. You know what I mean? I think you're going to look at Blake Corum and you're going to be like, run that back, because he's going to have at least, count it right here, five plays within one season. Now, maybe I'm underscoring it, undershooting it, because I don't believe too much in Josh Gattis. I'm going to hope he improves, but we all saw last year. So I'm going to say at least five plays where you're going to be like, run that back. I can't believe. What did he just do? Blake Corum as the rising star offensively. Now, freshman stars. I am so wide receiver-centric on this. It's unbelievable. I could have said Donovan Edwards. Sure, I could have. I just don't know what he's going to do with Hassan Haskins, Blake Corum in front of him. I just don't. Now, if you're getting garbage time against Rutgers, am I going to say you're a rising star? Are you the freshman star of the game? I just don't know. Now, next season, watch out. Donovan Edwards is going to be dominant. I can't wait to see what this kid does. But I'm telling you, I think Kristen Dixon is going to be phenomenal. It's a hunch. It's straight out from the gut. Straight out from the gut, Kristen Dixon's going to do something this season. And then Andrell Anthony. Just because I'm buying into the hype on this one. They say he did something special. He has the balls to take on the number one jersey. So I'm going to roll with this kid. I'm going to roll with Andrell Anthony and we say, let's see what you got, kid. And if you have the balls to take number one, you've been making news and fucking making people talk in spring ball or whatever. I'm all about you right now. So, gut, Kristen Dixon. Buying into the hype, Andrell Anthony. I think those guys are going to be the freshman stars of this. Let's hop into the defense. Obviously, number one defensive star. I mean, it's not even... I almost made him the obvious star, but because he was hurt, I just went with just defensive star. Hutchinson. I mean, baby Hutch is going to be the shit. Him and Daxon Hill, I believe, are going to be locked for first-round draft picks next season in the NFL draft. I don't know how you can deny a man who, if he stays healthy, in this system, in this defensive system, where they're not going to hold him up like Don Brown did, right? They're going to be like, go eat, young man. Go just dominate, right? I don't see how Baby Hutch doesn't have a season that blows your mind, let alone I bet he can live up to his father's words from last season where he was calling him Bosa, right? I can't remember which Bosa brother he said he compared him to, but regardless, the physical stats are there. The mindset's there. If he gets into the right defensive scheme where you put him on the outside, can you imagine being an offensive tackle and maybe looking at a defensive end, which was, let's just say, Christopher Hinton, and then you have Aiden Hutchinson? Are you joking? You got to be scared as hell on how you're going to... You got to be calling for help. I think Aiden Hutchinson's obvious. Just an obvious star. Well, two. I went with... I could make up my mind. David Ajabo or Welshoff. I actually am leaning more towards Welshoff because I think where they're going to put him, he can be more dynamic. But don't be surprised if either one of those two becomes stars this season, or if both, to be quite honest with you. I think this defensive squad is going to be the most improved because it's not because of lack of talent. It's because of defensive scheme change and the influx of youth from the coaches invigorating the talent and getting them to play above and beyond what they were. Number three, I'm high on DJ Turner. I said this on the last podcast. I think DJ Turner is going to be a star this year. Watch out. I'm telling you, I could be wrong. I admit this. I could be 100% wrong. But I'm telling you, I have a gut feeling. Watching DJ Turner, I know he's going to be solid. I know he's going to be a star this year. Number four, Juwan Green, obviously, was the best cornerback we had at the end of the season, so I think he has nothing to worry about going into this season. Him and DJ Turner are going to make lockdown corners, and I can't wait to see what they do. And then Upshaw, I can't wait to see what this kid does. His dad was phenomenal in the NFL. So, and if the theory is true, if Michigan makes you available to the media, that means you're doing something. So, and Upshaw was available to the media a lot. So, I'm going to say that he's the real deal. So, let's go with the rising star. I'm going to say it's Andre Solomon. I can't wait to see what this kid does. Oh, Andre Seldon. Jesus, Solomon. What am I talking about? Ay, ay, ay. Long day. Sorry, guys. It's like almost 11 o'clock in my time when I'm doing this. Long day at work. Anyways, my fault. Andre Seldon, one of my favorite cornerbacks. I think we're going to see a lot out of him this year. I think he's definitely the rising star that we're just going to be like, what? The obvious star, it goes without saying, right? Daxton Hill. That guy, phenomenal. I mean, he was phenomenal last year, and he didn't even have a safeties coach. Now, granted, yeah, he had some moments of lacking, but that's because he didn't have a coach. But in general, I don't know, maybe he didn't have a great year last year. I'm just in love with how fast he is, how when he's engaged, he can cover like a mother effer, and he's smart. I love this, and he can hit. I love all of that about him. And we saw that in 2019. 2020, we just wasted. I mean, Michigan is just known for wasting talent, and that was just one of the years we've done it. And it makes me sick, but I have faith that the obvious star is going to be Daxton Hill. Freshman stars, I'm going to go with Junior Colston, and I'm also going to go with Braden McGregor. I know you're going to say he's a sophomore, Adam. True, but he didn't play last year because of injury. I think you're going to see something out of this kid. I think they're going to put him in at the defensive end type. I mean, in the 3-4. I really think you're going to see a lineup at one point where it's Hinton, Mozzie Smith, and Braden McGregor with Upshaw and Hutch, baby Hutch, at the ends there. And I think we're going to revel in just the amazing pressure they put on these teams. That's what I'm saying. So now let's get to the point. We'll close out with this. The shit or get off the pot portion of this show. And we all know, right? There are certain players we hear of year in and year out. Oh, these are the next guys up. These are going to do it. These guys, oh, they look so good, blah, blah. And they never do anything. These are the guys that I'm going to be focusing on, and I'm going to be paying attention to, see if they actually do something offensively. And I poured over the offense. Maybe I forgot somebody, but I can only come up with one, and that's Chuck Filiaga. I love this kid. If you pour through the library of Michigan Maniac podcasts, you will see at some of the beginning podcasts, I am a huge Chuck Filiaga fan. I was making the argument he should be in the starting lineup. But he is too big, too smart, and too talented to be this underplayed and undersuccessful. He just is. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if it's a mental thing. I don't know if it's a performance thing. I don't know if I just overrated him, right? But he needs to either shit or get off the pot. And God bless him. He looks like a great kid. And I hope that he is. And I hope he goes on to live whatever dream he wants to live. But if he doesn't make it this season, I am done hearing about him. God bless him, but good luck. Be the best insurance agent in Hawaii. I don't know what to tell you. Or Illinois, Idaho, Florida, where the F you settle, good luck. I don't care. I'm just tired of at this point, I think Chuck Filiaga has been with the program for 14 years. It just seems like that's all I've ever heard of is Chuck Filiaga, just never living up to what Chuck Filiaga should be. So we're going to get off the offense. We'll go with the defense. Defense. Chris Hinton and Devin Jeter. What can I say about these two? Chris Hinton should be dominating. If he had the mindset of Mo Hurst, he should be the most dominating defensive tackle in the NCAA. He just should be. He's got the size. He's got the athletic ability. If he only had the drive, and I would assume he does because he comes from a very successful family where his dad was the NFL. You see the dedication it takes. You grew up with it. You have every blessing from that DNA. Why are you not succeeding? So I'm going to put that on Don Brown because I am a Chris Hinton fan. I mean, last season, I said if Chris Hinton shows up, we're going to be a dominating defense. I've actually compared him to Mo Hurst. So I'm a Chris Hinton fan, but I'm telling you, I am tired of supporting a kid who's not going to put in the work to be better. So I'm going to put that off on Don Brown. That's easy scapegoat. I get it. Say whatever you want to. I understand it. Fine. And maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just picking some old white dude that we kicked to Tucson, Arizona. And trust me, nothing but old honkies live in Tucson, Arizona. It's like you live in Pueblo, Colorado. Trust me. It's like where old people go to die. I know it's a college town, but it's one of the lamest college towns in the U.S. of A. Tucson, Arizona. I mean, think about that. Tucson. In the name, it just screams stupid. So, yes, we boot this old honky to Tucson, so we blame it on him. So, I want Chris Hinton to succeed. I'm dying for Chris Hinton to succeed. I love a good, dominant defensive tackle. I was a huge, huge, huge Warren Sapp fan. Warren Sapp was the most dominating defensive tackle I've ever seen play college football, in my opinion. I mean, Sue, you can make arguments because he was fantastic as well. And even Mo Hurst, man, Mo Hurst was a beast, bro. I mean, I would settle for Alan Branch or Gabe Watson, bro. I'd settle for those two. Alan Branch, I think, is still playing in the NFL. I'd settle for those. Just give me something. Not what you've been doing. Give me something. Give me something. Hinton, give me something. Live up to your dad's expectations. And then Donovan Jeter. I mean, you had one good game against Minnesota, and then he disappeared again. And I mean, it was just like, it was a contest between him and Louis Villain or whatever his name was. And they got, he transferred to Wake Forest. I mean, I'm sure Wake Forest is going to be great because they got like three or four of our players over there. God bless them. I hope they do great. But Jesus, enough. I mean, Jeter, if you cannot make it this season, I know Quinn Nordine will hire you for the night shift at Jack in the Box, and I will happily take tacos from you guys when I am blitzed out of my gourd in an Uber ordering about 14 orders of tacos, and you better make sure they're extra crispy, the cheese is melted, mother effers, and no lettuce. I don't want some moldy-ass lettuce you put in there, and you better overload it with jack-in-the-box sauce, mother effer. Okay, Jeter? And you yell at your manager, Nordine, because I need that shit hot. Okay? I'm not paying $3 for an Uber so I can get cold-ass tacos from your two punk asses, okay? Get your shit together. That's all I'm saying. And on that note, we're going to get the hell out of here. Now, I don't know when I'm going to have another podcast, because as we all know, shit ain't going on. Shit just ain't going on, and I ain't connected to nobody. So we'll see what happens. If something interesting happens, I'll hop on and say some stuff, and we'll see where it goes. But always and forever, we all know this, and you can say it in your head because you can hear me say it already. It is great to be a Michigan Wolverine, and always and forever, go Blue.